And now, Brother Gheorghe, and now from Romania, will have his discourse.
Peace unto all here, brothers and sisters, as we bring the love and greetings of your Bible study brethren from Ghetto Maranatha. Our lesson today is from the Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians 4:8, and from Peter's words in 2 Peter 1:11. Let us pay attention to the word of God expressed through the mouth of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, in Proverbs 22:20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Let us read, dear brethren, in the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul's advice concerning counsels and thoughts in Philippians 2:5-8. Not this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being the Son of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, for as he, but did not count equality with God a thing to be blessed, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The thought of humility should guide all of us in everything we do and say, as well as in our relationships with others, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Peter 5:5, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Therefore, beloved brethren, it is good to keep the thought of humility in our relationships. If we turn our thoughts to God's words expressed through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope," the Revised Standard Version. While you continue with that advice given by God to the captives in Babylon, who are under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, as it is in Jeremiah 29:4-10. In verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 5, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Verse 6, take your wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives to your sons, and give our daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Verse 7, and set the peace of the city whereof caused you to be carried away captive, and cry unto the Lord for it. In the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. Verse 9, for I prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Verse 10, and thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, and causing you to return to this place. We conclude from the above verses that God thought about the welfare of his people even when they were in a captivity. Let's continue with the advice the Apostle Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In order to fulfill this scripture, we need to direct our attention to Paul's words in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, or if there be any praise, think on these things. Beloved brethren in our Lord Jesus Christ, let us now analyze together a few aspects from the above verse regarding the thinking process. True. Firstly, whatever things are true, think on these things. We find the answer to this statement in Paul's words in Colossians 1:12, where the apostle reveals unto us the truth about the gospel age saints, among which we believe we are counted. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 in chapter 1 of Colossians gives us the beautiful concept that he delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14 of Colossians 1 gives us another beautiful concept, which is that in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In verse 15 we have a beautiful thought regarding two important aspects of the truth. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16 tells us the truth that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. In verse 18, we have the beautiful thought that he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning,
the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In verse 20, tells us that God decided to reconcile all things unto himself by him, whether they be things in heaven or things on earth, making peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21 in chapter 1 of Colossians tells us the truth that you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Honorable. Let us continue with the second point of Philippians 4:8. Whatever is honorable, Revised Standard Version. We'll begin by saying that all the advice that God saw fit to be given unto us through his holy prophets, his son Jesus Christ, and his apostles are indeed honorable. Of course, we will quote a few scriptural references, such as 1 Exodus 20:2-3, which tells us, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In Exodus 20:12, God says through his servant Moses, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We find a beautiful thought in the book of Proverbs 25:27, where God says the following words through Solomon, the son of David. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. Our thoughts go to another scripture spoken by God through the mouth of the prophet Malachi 1:6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. Unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? We continue with the Word of God preached by Peter in Peter 1:17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. There is another beautiful thought in a scripture which God spoke through the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Let us mention another scripture from God that came through the words of Samuel, as we read in Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. New International Version. Beloved brethren, these scriptures that we read together and many others like them are worthy of honor. If you and I keep in our minds all these counsels and live by them, then we honor God and we will honor us, and excuse me, and He will honor us forever. Just. Point number 3. The Apostle Paul urges us in Philippians 4:8 to think of whatsoever things are just. Evidently, every word that comes out of God's mouth is just, and we should consider it such. Speaking of this, God urges the faithful ones throughout the gospel age by the words of the Apostle John in 1 John 4:1. Beloved brethren, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The scripture says that we must analyze the words of those who speak in the name of God, and if their teachings diminish the values of any of His qualities or of some part of His plan, we should reject it from our thoughts immediately. Another teaching of the Apostle Paul in Romans 15:1 reads, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." According to this scripture, we cannot allow in any manner our minds to abandon God's principles. Yet our personal liberties and rights may often be set aside in the interest of others in order to please God. The Apostle Paul was one who abandoned all earthly privileges for the cause of Christ and of the Church. This is what he says in Galatians 2:5-11. Verse 5, "To them we did not yield submission, even for a moment, that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you." Revised Standard Version. Verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." How should we apply the counsel given by God through Paul in Romans 15:1 that says we should be patient with the weak?
Thank you.
In order to understand it, let us think of one of God's qualities, mercy, as it is described in Joel 2:13, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So we see, dear brothers and sisters, each one of us must possess the qualities mentioned in the verse above. The faithful must have thoughts of love, sympathy, interest, and care toward others, especially toward those of the household of faith, and even towards our enemies, however many times our environment will demand it. We will continue with the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 5:14, where he tells us, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." If our duty is to rebuke brothers or sisters sometimes, let us do this with the intention to help them and not with the intention to pull them down. We have many other beautiful thoughts to discuss with you, but let us continue with point number 4 in Philippians 4:8. Pure. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. All the words given to us by God through the ancient worthies, through his Son Jesus Christ, and through his apostles are pure, because he himself is pure. Thus, let us read the words of God spoken through his servant Moses in Deuteronomy 32:1-4. Verse 1, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Verse 2, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Verse 3, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Verse 4, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Beloved brothers and sisters, we believe that we are part of his people, and that his people are pure, as God tells us through the Apostle Paul in his epistle to Titus 2:14. Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In the book of Psalms, we find a beautiful statement about the word of God in Psalms 12:6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. These short comments will end my discussion on point 4, although I leave this topic open for study to all of you brethren who are present here. Point number 5 in Philippians 4:8, "Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things." In the Gospel of Mark 12:28-31, we read, verse verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Beloved brethren, let us fix in our minds the answer that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave to this scribe, as it is also valid for spiritual Israel during the Gospel age, among whom we believe to be. This advice, as many others that the Lord Jesus Christ gave unto us to his servants, is lovely. Let us think further of the character of the Heavenly Father, who unites almighty power, wisdom, justice, and love. Our duty is to strive to mold and develop a character in harmony with the will of the Heavenly Father, although we will not be able to do it through our own power or strength, but through the Spirit of God, as it is promised through the prophet in Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In harmony with the verse in Zechariah 4:6, we find the account related in the Gospel of John 14:15-17, where we read the following words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Beloved brethren, let us consider together one of the character features of our Heavenly Father, namely love. Why did I choose this feature? Because the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. In verse 21, the apostle directs our attention to the following commandment, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Therefore, dear brethren, this thought should also guide us, because God is love. Qualities of love. We will consider next what qualities this love has, and we will find the answer in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, Diaglot, as we read. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful, is not puffed up. Verse 5. Acts not unbecomingly, seeks not that which is not her own, is not provoked to anger, does not impute. Verse 6. Rejoices not with iniquity, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7. Covers all things, believes all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Beloved brethren, let us think now of some of these features of God's love that were enumerated earlier. The first one is in verse 4. Love is long-suffering with the imperfections and weaknesses of the brethren, as well as with those who are on the wrong path and oppose the truth. Let us remember that the whole world is more or less influenced by the god of this world, Satan, who blinds the mind and judgment. This is why the Apostle Paul strengthens us through the Word of God in his Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Let us discuss another feature of God's love presented in verse 4, namely, that love is kind. It not only seeks to do what is right, but it does it with pleasure. If our hearts are fervent with kindness, then all our thoughts will be in harmony with this kindness. For who thinks of doing good, doing kind deeds is full of kindness. Love is kind toward all people, especially towards the brethren in Christ. Galatians 6:10. We will consider here, beloved brethren, another feature of God's love, which is presented in verse 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices with the truth. Any favor we would gain by remaining in misunderstanding or error would not be in harmony with the love feature. Love rejoices with the truth, especially the truth that praises God as his Son, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us analyze another feature of God's love from verse 5. Love is not quickly provoked. There are many bad traits in our day, such as moods, quickness to anger and argument, getting upset, as well as a disposition to be easily offended. These bad traits, all those that stem from an unreformed, selfish heart and are contrary to love. We read the Apostles' words in Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9 we read, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if we manifest any of the bad traits mentioned above, and if we apply to ourselves a punishment, we would gradually become more careful in our conduct and would gradually overcome such weaknesses. This battle of ours is pleasing to the Lord, and we will receive from Him all the help if we will request it according to Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us analyze another feature of love presented in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not impute evil. Do we want this noble feature to rule our heart? Then watch our thoughts. What do we think of? According to Galatians 6:16, it is understood that God's covenant people of the gospel age, spiritual Israel, are under the law of Christ, the law of liberty. In James 1:25, we find the following account. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This law of liberty is the law of love, which should be written in the thoughts and in the hearts of each person of faith of the gospel age. In Zechariah 7:10, we find the advice given by God through this prophet. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. In Proverbs 3:29, we find the following advice. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Beloved brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, if the foundation of our thoughts is the love of God, and we will be able to say words of love towards both our brethren and mankind in general, and also say words of praise toward God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We will be able to do good to our brethren and even to our enemies by practicing these daily in our lives. We will be able to develop a character according to the will of God, which will bring the result expressed by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved brethren, may God's peace be with you all who are in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for your discourse.